I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Diane Schneier-Perrin. She's executive director of the Santa Fe Film Festival, which is coming up next weekend, December 6th through 9th, which is Thursday through Sunday. And Aisha Khan, who is a filmmaker and also on the board of the festival. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we wanted to give everybody a preview of the festival and also a preview of the gala that is happening this Friday night, which we'll talk more about at the end of the program. Lots of fun and looking forward to that. But let's talk about the film festival. I've been covering the Santa Fe Film Festival as long as I've been doing this program, which is, I think this will be the 9th or 10th year that
wow.
I'm having filmmakers on. And it's gone through all sorts of changes. Where's it at now? Give us a little bit of the background and where you've come, Diane.
Well, this is my second year in this position. And Brent Cleaver, my colleague, who's the director of film programming for the festival last year in this.
And who I might say is a mega genius film curator.
He is. He's been programming for Santa Fe for over 30 years, even if he does it remotely now from Oklahoma City. And Brent's taste is impeccable, and together we've worked very closely, and I don't know, it's a real joy to work with Brent, because when I talk to Brent, I talk about films. When I do the rest of my job, there's a lot of, you know,
fundraising.
Yes, exactly. So it's a lot more fun to get on the phone and start talking about films and panels and all the programming aspects.
Now, it's really great this year, but I mean, going back to the past, I remember the first few years that I did it, there were, it seems like, hundreds of films, including the shorts. And then one year, suddenly there was like 5 or something. And it was like a kind of hiatus, and most of them weren't even new films. And now it's come back. That's not easy to keep a film festival going after it's kind of taken a dive like that.
Finding a sustainable model for the festival is something that we put a lot of time and energy into. And we're not completely there yet, but we're well on our way. The year you're talking about, of course, coincided with the economic crisis.
Oh, right.
As well as...
we lost a lot of corporate donors, and that was one of the big deals.
Right.
Yeah.
And the festival had grown to about 250 films, and then when it was brought back a bit, it still wasn't able to find its feet again. And so in 2010, the co-executive directors, Michael Hare and Rose Kuo, paired it back completely, and that's the year that you're remembering.
Yeah.
It almost didn't happen. And I think what they felt was it was better to at least be alive than to take the year off. And so they brought some really wonderful films, and a lot of them had played at Lincoln Center. They had the winner of the Palme d'Or that year, but it was only 8 films and I think an equal number of shorts. So with that year, they were able to reassess everything. But Rose soon got an offer to go to Lincoln Center and become the executive director there of the Lincoln Center Film Society, which runs the New York Film Festival and many, many other programs. And Michael ended up going with her. And at that point, I came in and invited Brent to join me, which was the only caveat to taking the position. And the reason I was convinced to come on board under the circumstances of a debt, and a sizable debt, and the community feeling a little bit hurt by the festival and not feeling honored in a way that the festival had in the past and the way that we now look at our community. And so what happened was we came in, and the board at that time, led by Nick Dury and Sandy McGovernary, were really adamant about the fact that we were not reinventing the festival from the perspective of not taking on the ills of the past. We were owning up to everything. We were moving forward with a consciousness that what happened in the past is what we learned from, and we're going forward as a Santa Fe Film Festival in a better way. And the programming was always stellar. And I think when it grew, sometimes it became a little uneven. And that's what people remembered.
Yeah, that's true.
But Now we're at about 60, 65 films, including shorts, so about 43 or so film programs. We have 8 panels and Artists in Conversation this year. And we're really finding our feet and putting ourselves in a position to go forward in a strong and steady way where, as I said earlier, we're honoring our film-loving, art-loving community and inviting the world in to celebrate film.
I think one of the, when I was thinking, when you said sustainable model, I feel like your sustainable model is having really, really good movies.
Right, exactly.
I hear you, but it's more than that, unfortunately, because that we can do. That's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
We have the right people. We have the right audience. That's not so hard. The really hard aspect is finding a way to have a cash flow throughout the year, finding other opportunities to become more of a film society where there are educational programs, there are partnerships that allow us to be running all year long, as well as being supported by the community and really corporate sponsorship.
During the festival itself?
Well, for the whole year.
For the whole year.
I mean, really.
That's what we're looking for.
Because
okay.
Some of the educational programs you want to be able to give for free or at low prices so that you can give it to a large audience that's underserved in the area.
Now, how does it affect the festival that New Mexico has been a kind of film production state with the film incentives, and then the governor campaigned against that, and now she's sort of softened her opposition to the...
I think the industry was hurt. Where we get hurt as a film festival is if you don't have the big productions in town, which the 2 years that my films were screening at the festival, we had like major celebrities drop by at the awards, at the panels. I mean, they were just because they were in town. Jeremy Irons was in town. He just, you know, came to the awards ceremony. So... in that sense, I think we get affected because people within the industry, we want the industry to do well in New Mexico because we are natural flow, outflow into it, you know. But I think we're kind of back on track. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from people that I know who are working in the industry here, that they've kind of figured it out.
The state is back on track.
The state is back on track. I'm speaking to a couple of producers, pitching them New Mexico. So it's good. They're back on looking at New Mexico as a very viable place to come and shoot.
And this year, the festival became a participant in a campaign that's under the Department of Economic Development
right.
called Shoot Santa Fe. And in fact, I went to Los Angeles for the Location Expo representing Northern New Mexico with this group, which includes city representatives. Rebecca Wurzberger is really the chair of this group. And then local production entities like HDNM, the IATSE 480 is involved, Santa Fe University of Art and Design, Santa Fe Studios, I believe even Albuquerque Studios was involved, and a lot of the regional government representatives in northern New Mexico, because the real pitch from Santa Fe is live the city, shoot the region, live the city. So we want productions to come and stay in Santa Fe,
right.
but shoot all of northern New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful group of people. It's a wonderful effort. And I think it's making, they went to Sundance, they went to South by Southwest, and we're actually going to start planning for January later this month.
We're talking about the Santa Fe Film Festival. Now, do a lot of people, I mean, you were talking about in mm-hmm. the past celebrities have come through, but do film festival, like film buffs, come from out of town and stay here to go to the film festival?
Absolutely.
Is that something you're building?
Isn't there somebody who's coming in with 20 people this year?
That's one of our filmmakers
right.
is bringing 20 people. And there are people
do that.
Who aren't even attached to the program
right.
who will be coming in because... they love films, and they love Santa Fe, and that's something that we push. This is definitely an economic driver for Santa Fe,
right.
and the community recognizes it because we do receive grants from, you know, from the New Mexico Arts Commission, from the Santa Fe Arts Commission, and from City of Santa Fe.
Right.
And quite frankly, we have a very film-obsessed community here. I mean, I found
it's
that
true,
first.
True, isn't it?
Yes.
We support so many. I wonder how many movie theaters we support per capita.
I mean, even you interviewing me when Made in Pakistan was coming out. I mean, who would think that two obscure movies from Pakistan would be a complete sellout ticket at the Santa Fe Film Festival?
Right.
Who had heard about us? Like, you know, but everybody showed up.
Right.
Which is why I'm so excited about the lineup this year. Because I believe that every single one of these 43, 67 movies, whatever we have, needs to be a sellout. Because they deserve to be seen.
Now, I would like to let our audience know that Aisha Khan stayed up half the night last night and watched
all the trailers.
Every single trailer for every movie at the Santa Fe Film Festival, which can be seen by you, ladies and gentlemen, at santafefilmfestival.com.
And it was not a chore. I was so excited. That's why I stayed up half the night.
Right.
You all have to go and see the trailers and get as excited as I am.
So, and it's hard to see 43 programs of films in 3 days, so you or 4 days.
And some are concurrent, so it
right.
is impossible.
So you've got to choose.
So you actually do have to make some choices, but there are some, I mean, this is what I love about film festivals in general, and this one in particular, is that there are big major films that will eventually go on and play in multiplexes, and
right.
there are films that you will never have a chance
see.
To see any other way, and often the second group is the ones that you, I mean, I'm remembering films from last year
right.
that really affected me at the film festival that really nobody's ever heard of. They're very important to see. What are some of your favorite, I want to ask each of you, what are some of your highlights?
Go ahead, Diane. I'll let you go first. I have my
That's
list.
That's dangerous, Aisha, because we seem to have very
similar tastes.
My favorite film thus far, because I have not seen them all yet, Brent
has.
Is the person who has, is Violeta Went to Heaven. Violeta Parra, who was a folk singer who strongly influenced Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. She's a Chilean folk singer from, I guess, the 50s, 60s. And this is a biopic like no other. This filmmaker is one to watch. It is Chile's Academy Award nominee.
The right.
different countries around the world will propose one single film that was made in the year. For to be their Oscar
so
entry.
So that's their entry.
That is their foreign language Oscar entry. And if you watch this film, not only will you be incredibly moved by it, but you will buy Violeta Parra's music.
Yes, so. Which we sometimes play on KSFR on the weekends. an amazing singer. And so that's Violeta Goes to Heaven.
Went to Heaven, I'm
Went
sorry.
To Heaven is the name of that film. And okay, so what else?
The Sapphires. I predict it will sell out. So everybody get their tickets like today. Okay? And I'm getting one reserved ticket for myself. Like I am watching that movie.
Now this is, okay, tell us about it.
So it's apparently they were an Aboriginal group. And
from Australia.
From Australia. And it reminded me of the Supremes and all these, you know, it's in the 60s that this is happening.
Like a girl doo-wop group.
Like exactly. And this manager finds them. And for some reason they get picked up by the American...
They go to Vietnam to entertain the troops.
I mean, it is hilarious. Just the trailer itself is hilarious.
It comes from a play that was very popular in Australia, and it's known as Australia's Dream Girls. So it's going
to sell out. You all have to go buy your tickets
okay.
for this one straight away. Okay. Then
The Sapphires.
The Sapphires. Then the other, like, more smaller titles that
you know
I just
know funny?
Loved.
There was a Cuban group called Los Zafiros, which was a guy duo, close harmony group in the 50s.
I'll have to look them up.
Anyway, there was a movie about that, too, a few years ago at the festival.
I'm going to look
so
that up.
Keep going.
Okay. Then I loved the trailer for La Sirga, which is a Colombian film. It's just beautifully shot. I mean, every single shot in there. Was like my jaw was dropping. And apparently it's a first-time filmmaker.
We have a lot of directorial debuts this
I'm
year.
I'm stunned by it.
Now, this is a movie about a young woman who's leaving her war-torn village
right.
in Colombia and
right.
her
and trying
kind
to find
of
a safe
journey.
Haven.
Exactly.
Right. But it looks beautiful. So La Sirga's on my list. Gregory Crutzen, Brief Encounters, the documentary. I thought for... I don't know, well, it was 1 o'clock at night when I was watching the trailer, so you'll have to forgive me. For a minute, I thought he was a production designer, because he's a photographer who sets up on these enormous sound stages and creates the picture that he wants to take. And it looks stunning.
It's not only sound stages. He does this in towns, and he usually goes to depressed towns. So if you can imagine someone going out and not copying, but reinventing Hopper-esque kind of situations.
Scenes. Yeah, like a production, like a complete Hollywood production.
Exactly.
With the
and
crew
he
and
spends the
whole works.
The money like a Hollywood right. production, but which instead is extraordinary of for the one
photograph.
Image.
For a photograph instead
for a photograph.
Of for a movie.
Correct. Right.
Amazing. And what's the name of that film?
Gregory Crutzen, Brief Encounters.
Okay.
Must-see list. Okay.
And Ben Shapiro, the director, will be coming in.
Oh, that's great.
So there'll be a Q&A after.
Okay, reserving ticket for that.
And we are also hoping that he will be able to participate on an additional panel as well as just after the film screens.
So all of these, we're going to have on Wednesday, Thursday, and part of Friday next week on this program, a lot of, as many filmmakers
right.
basically
yeah.
as we can get who are willing
Absolutely.
To come by the baking company mm-hmm. or call in. And so we'll hear more about some of these and other films. Now, let's talk for a moment about the panels. You have been mentioning panels. These are panels of filmmakers, of directors?
What we decided to do this year, because the Q&As are relatively short, just because I know that when I'm in a room with a filmmaker, particularly just after the film is over, mm-hmm. I could stay for hours and hear what they have to say. But we have to run other screenings, so we have to keep them to about 15, 20 minutes. And so what we decided to do was have our panels, as we can, precede films and give our participants the opportunity to come and meet the filmmakers and hear them speak on a broader topic
right.
that, of course, relates to their film. So I'll just give a few titles that we're working with. Mm-hmm. This year, we've concentrated on creating sort of a leitmotif on art on film. I mean, we have films that their subject matter relates to the traditional arts. And we have several films that are involved with music as a topic. So we have narrative and documentary films that are looking at this. We have a film called The Cardboard Bernini.
Oh, my God.
Which is
to
I
die
saw
for.
The pictures
I just made
from
Mary
that.
Charlotte look
it's
at it.
It's extraordinary. And the amazing thing about it is a documentary, but as you watch it, almost as if the artist is coming to this conclusion while you're watching him, you see that the Cardboard Bernini, which is a replica of the Trevi Fountain, of Bernini's Trevi Fountain in Italy.
Extraordinary.
And yeah. he painstakingly builds this and creates it just out of cardboard. And it is unbelievably beautiful, but his intention, after having it show once inside, is to have it installed outside and to watch it disintegrate in the elements.
Yeah.
And it's a treatise on transience.
It's insane.
Impermanence.
Exactly.
Must
and
watch.
What happens,
is the name again? Cardboard?
The Cardboard Bernini.
Bernini.
And what really comes to play in this man's journey is his own issues with his own immortality. With his own mortality.
Yeah.
And yet you it gets revealed the same way the rest of the story is unveiled. So
very
yes,
interesting. Really, and I have to say, I'm a radio listener listening to Diane talk about Bernini statues made of cardboard. Give me a break. You look at the pictures, and they are exquisite. You can't even believe it.
You can't believe it, that this is cardboard.
Yeah.
Or that he would allow it to
must
be
watch
destroyed.
Movie.
Well, I mean, we're going to have the monks on who come every year and make those beautiful sand mandalas.
Yes, that's true.
And then I love going to the ceremony at the end because they've been, you can go every day and watch them grain by grain, yep. put these sand mandalas down. And then at the end comes and they do their ceremony and they
right.
play their horns and stuff. And then with one sweep of the arm and a
it's
broom,
gone.
It's gone.
I know.
But Mary Charlotte, they their entire lives are about impermanence and eternity simultaneously.
Right, whereas Italian marble sculpture is not.
What are the other panels?
Addition to art on film, we have one that is about films on a mission. We found that of the films that we were reviewing, we found there were several that, again, documentary and narrative treatments of very passionately held causes.
Right.
That filmmakers were making films that seemed to go beyond just the film itself, but to really incite action from the audience, whether it be to shift a mindset or a real involvement in change of some sort. And that ranges from two films that we have, one which is a New Mexico-made film that's about Powake teens learning the Tiwa language and working towards saving it from extinction. And then one about...
What's the name of that one?
That one is The Young Ancestors, and it's showing as a double feature at the New Mexico History Museum with Canes of Power.
Which I have seen, yes.
Which is
when I think Lincoln gave these canes to the New Mexico Pueblos.
To the Pueblo leaders.
To the elders.
Recognition of the native government.
Fascinating. I had no idea about it. I've seen it. It's great. And you should all come and watch it. It's a double feature.
Aisha is excited about it.
I'm very excited about the films. I mean, this is what I do. This is why I actually make movies.
How do you, Diane, how do you find these first time, not that they all are, but some of them, you said there's a number of first time debut filmmakers. How do you find them and how do you sort them out? Because there's a lot of not so great films being made.
And we watch a lot of those.
Yeah.
And hopefully don't
after 15,
end up showing
if them. They're bad, do you turn them off after 15 or 20 minutes?
Not if they've come through without a box. We do not have a 10-minute rule. We have the films watched by two of our jurors at least. And if somebody, they have to come in and, you know, they have to come in and say, I couldn't watch it if they did not finish it, and then it has to go to someone else.
Okay.
Because not everyone has the same...
So you're very thorough.
Yeah, not everyone has the same taste. And if filmmakers are paying a submission fee, not for their film to be in the festival, but for it to be considered to be in the festival, we can watch it. Two of us can watch it.
Okay. So what you do is you put the word out to submit to the Santa Fe Film Festival, and they come to you.
Without a box, yeah.
They come to us, and we go after them.
You can submit to as many festivals as you like through that service. It's a service.
Okay. It's an online portal that brings filmmakers and film festivals together around the world, and it makes the process much easier, although some filmmakers may not agree with that. But it does. I couldn't imagine, because it's been in existence since I've been on, in this position. I could not imagine doing this job without it.
It used to be, until very recently, people were sending VHS tapes and then DVDs.
Yes, it's true.
It's not anymore.
It's true. No, we watch a lot of them online. You can upload and we can watch an online screener, or some people send hard copies. They send DVDs.
Yeah.
And so we go through, the few hundred submissions that we get through the process I mentioned. And Brent simultaneously is doing what he does, which is he is courting distributors, he is talking to colleagues who go around the world and go to festivals. When we find that sustainable model, hopefully we'll be sending him around the world to wonderful festivals.
Right. And a board member will be going with him.
And
we think.
And we will... continue this word of mouth that he does. And he also will check in with filmmakers or people who have, other connections that he has built over the 30-some-odd years that he's been an exhibitor that allows him to know about films that we would not otherwise know about if he didn't find out and bring them to us.
Yeah.
So where does the Santa Fe Film Festival stand in the world of film festivals. I mean, everybody's heard of Telluride. That's a really big major and Cannes in France and so on. Where are we? Are we sort of like...
We have a wonderful reputation from people who have visited and come to the film festival and people who've heard about it through them. In addition to that, Santa Fe as a destination is what one of the most obvious points of difference and one of our greatest opportunities to have a point of difference, because frankly there are film festivals every day somewhere in the world.
Right.
And I'll talk from a board perspective on this, like because we've been trying to grow the advisory board and the board and what have you, and me going to people and saying, you know, people in New York, people in LA, saying that, you know, I'm on the board of the Santa Fe Film Festival, would you consider being an advisory board? They all clutch their heart and just, oh, Santa Fe. Of course. And that's good for us to know that we do have a brand. Whether it's Santa Fe itself, the city, or whether it's a Santa Fe Film Festival.
It's a compliment, yeah.
Or the New Mexico film industry. It kind of rolls together. Like, I've never had anybody turn to me and say, no, I'm not going to consider it.
Right.
They all kind of do this sigh of, oh, yes.
And that's one of the reasons art on film is so prevalent in the festival this year, is because we're really trying to connect with the other arts in Santa Fe. We have a film now, Forager, that embraces the culinary arts.
Ah.
We have the Bernini, which is fine art. Then we have music, performing
Jake
arts.
Jake Shema Bukuru, Life and Four Strings.
Which is extraordinary.
Fabulous.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, which and is music.
So, ladies and gentlemen, cancel all your plans.
All your plans. I mean,
next week,
will
Thursday,
really
Fridays,
regret not seeing these films.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 6th through 9th of December, SantaFeFilmFestival.com. Now, let's talk for a moment about the gala, because in a couple of days, this Friday night.
Yes, get excited about the gala.
At the Hotel Santa Fe.
Yes, we are taking over the first floor of the Hotel Santa Fe. The Hotel Santa Fe is going absolutely all out on the food. And because we have so many films, foreign films this year, which we think will be Oscar contenders, we've decided to do the gala as Enter the World of the Santa Fe Film Festival. And Hotel Santa Fe will be setting up four different stations of food.
Colombian
from
food?
Around the world.
Chilean food?
South American food, Native
Australian,
American.
Australian, Aboriginal food?
European, you name it. Paella, you name it. Okay? I mean, the menu is to die for. We are also going to be having a live auction with Paul Margotson, who will be doing all of this live.
He's a famous auctioneer.
Apparently, he's a huge draw. I haven't seen him, but...
He's apparently extraordinary.
Yeah. And we've got some incredible items, which I cannot disclose, but I'll give you a hint. One of them is something that I'm bringing in, and it's a vacation to a place that I might just buy it. Okay?
You're not allowed to.
So
do that.
Actually,
no,
you will have
bid
to
on
fight
it, I can
Ayesha
do it.
Khan to get into the movie, to get into the gala,
and to fight for the auctions.
And the price will go up because she will be bidding.
And the silent auction, we've really outreached to a lot of the local businesses, and they've been so wonderful.
Really
we've got
generous.
Great restaurants who are giving us dinners for two, you know, just incredible things that they've given us for the silent auction.
It's so anyway, a wonderful lead-up to the holidays.
It's a lead-up, and it's a kickoff to the festival. That's the way I'm looking at the gala. Like, come there, get excited. We're going to be showing all the trailers and the clips and everything that we can muster together
good.
For the film festival, as many as we can get. So it's at Hotel Santa Fe, 6:30, November 30th.
Which is Friday.
Which is Friday. And we want you to support us. We want you to get excited. And we want you to all buy tickets today.
Online.
Online at the Santa Fe Film Festival.com. And you can pick it up at Constellation Home Electronics on Guadalupe.
And at the Hotel Santa Fe.
And, of course, at the Hotel Santa Fe. But please buy your tickets today so we can do a head count for the hotel. Okay.
And tickets to the film festival will be available through Ticket Santa Fe, 988-1234. Diane Schneier-Perrin is the executive director of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Ayesha Khan is a filmmaker and board member at the festival. And we will see you at the gala on Friday, and then we will see you at the film festival.
At the sold-out screenings. I'm telling you, you guys
the
need to buy your tickets right now.
The only problem is choosing.
Only problem is choosing. But I'll tell you what, it sounds like if you flip a coin, you'll do fine.
You will do fine.
We are giving a discount on a pack for
we
the
do.
Films.
Yeah,
we
you
do.
You can get a pass for
We've
a number
got
of films.
All access passes, which you can buy, and then you can walk into any film you want.
And then we have a buy six for the price of five, and we also have a 10 pack.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.